Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And good afternoon, everyone. Manny Kimmel enjoying a day of rest. Well-deserved, I might add. I'm Stephen Stone, and this is Straight Talk. We talk about all things Rock Hill, Fort Mill, TKK, your county, up and down I-77. Even some friends from Lancaster and Chester County drop in on us from time to time. And we're brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders, Anderson Griggs Investments. In Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. If I sound a little loud this time, it's because the last time this dear lady could barely hear me, but we have maybe half the crowd for the moment, because that can change in a second. But with us today is a very good friend to us at the radio station, of course, and all-around great gal, Bobbi Comer. She is the Director of Animal Services at the York County Animal Shelter. And welcome back. It's great to see you again.
Thank you. Good to see you, too.
Now, what have you been doing with yourself? You've been staying busy, I understand?
We have been staying extremely busy at the shelter, very busy. We have animals coming in at an extremely rapid rate.
I asked you before we went to air how you got into this, and you had a great story, and I thought I'd lead with that as you tell our new listeners who Bobbi Comer is.
So I was a local educator in the community for years, and it was actually one of my students that did a community service project and got me interested in the shelter and what it did. And through that, I became an extremely active volunteer at the shelter, eventually becoming one of the co-presidencies of the 501c3 that supported the shelter. Put a lot of initiatives in place, some different administrative things to try to help make our shelter and our community more successful. And the next thing I knew, I was the director.
So you were drafted.
You could say that.
Well, you have had a lot of challenges, I know, with the work that you do and the great people that are with you. And we were talking about staffing. Maybe for those who don't know where the York County Animal Shelter is located.
Mm-hmm. So we are over on Justice Boulevard, which is by the detention center of the court systems in York. So on the west side, more west central side of the county.
Okay. Now, how large of a staff do you have?
So right now we have 19 staff members, and that includes our field officers. So we're working on trying to get some more in there.
I was going to say, is that enough for a county the size of York County? Because you have the whole county in which to deal with.
We do serve the whole county. So as they'll tell you, I'm always asking for more because my staff works extremely hard. They're always out there with the animals doing everything possible. So, yeah, we could definitely use some more to take care of the animals.
Well, since we're into it, how about a state of the shelter report? I mean, you know, how are you guys doing with all that's going on in this post-pandemic world that they like to call it now that we're living in?
That is the word, right? I think we're affected as equally as probably everybody else. We are in what's called a crisis mode for shelters in the United States. It's across the entire United States. As many people may have known, the South was already a region that struggled with a very much an overpopulation issue. And so the fact that our population has doubled is truly a crisis for this region. To give you an example of the numbers, in 2021, in the first quarter, so that's January through March, we intook a little over 400 animals, which was pretty solid. This year, in 2023, January through March, we have intook over 800 animals.
That's double.
Within just 2 years. And so at this rate, we're struggling with keeping up. And we looked at some of the stats to see what is happening, because we're trying to figure out how do we fix this problem that's going on. And what we found is that the biggest increase has come from our owner surrenders, people relinquishing their pets. It has had a 60% increase since 2021. And so that, when we look at the reasons why people are surrendering, it's for a variety of reasons. the three main reasons we're seeing is that, one, some people got pets as company during the pandemic, and now they're back to work. And they just feel like they no longer have time for a pet, and so they seek to relinquish it to the shelter. A second reason that we're seeing is that people are struggling with the economy, and they're having to choose, do I feed myself, do I feed my family, or do I feed my pet? And so they're having to seek relinquishment for that. And the third issue we're seeing, which is pretty significant in our community with the high growth, is the housing market. A lot of people have either lost their homes or could no longer afford to stay where they were, had to move in with relatives, and as a result of that are relinquishing pets. We also have a very low options in our community for people that have larger pets for them to live in. There's not a lot of apartment complexes or rental facilities that most people are having to go to at this point in time that allow for larger pets, and so people are left with no options.
Wow. See, that's one of the reasons I am a homeowner, is so, you know, I don't have that problem, because I know, and I get it with apartments and that sort of thing. I totally understand, you know, I mean, you know, the small pet is probably fine in the apartment with the pet deposit, but as opposed to, you know, my galoot, you know, Jasper, I get why that doesn't work so well in an apartment environment. And most of these animals need a yard anyway. I mean, we were talking earlier, and I have a fenced backyard, and he moves around and has a good time in it, but it's just sad to me that people are being forced into this predicament, and it's basically the first one to be cut, as you so to speak, use a sports analogy, is the animal. Mm-hmm. And it's not just dogs, is it?
No. And it's tough on the animals, especially the ones that are going back to work, maybe don't have a little bit of time. Any time is better than coming into a shelter for most of them. So we understand that a lot of people don't have options. But if you do have the option, maybe just trying to work it out with a schedule or having a family member help out or a friend for a little bit can make all the difference for that pet.
Yeah, and that pet becomes a part of the family anyway, so that's got to be all the more gut-wrenching to go through that separation.
Yeah, they do really struggle when they come back into the shelter, and we really want to be there for those people that really truly need it as no other option.
All right. Now, that being said, are you all a no-kill shelter?
So I'm going to tell you, I'm not a fan of the no-kill terminology, and I'll explain a little bit why.
Okay.
Because every shelter makes decisions, so I feel it's kind of a misleading terminology to the public. It sends out a message there are shelters that do kill and shelters that don't kill, which is just absolutely not true.
Okay.
Everyone makes decisions.
Big misconception.
So what the true difference is there are private shelters. And then there are open intake public shelters. The private shelters get to choose and select which animals they take in, how many they take in at a time. And so they can say, stop, we're full. Then there's public shelters, which are like ourselves, where if you're lined up at the door with a stray, even if we have absolutely no space, if we have dogs in our offices, we take that stray dog. If we get a cruelty case tomorrow, and right now we're at double capacity for dogs, and we're slightly over capacity for cats. We're completely out of kennels. We have none open. And I guarantee at this moment we have a line at the shelter with people with animals. And if we get a cruelty case today that has 30 animals in it, we're going to get those animals out of that situation and take them even if we don't have space.
Where do you put them?
Well, if that's where...
Are you taking them home with you?
Sometimes we try, but that's why you see the difference between shelters that have to make decisions on animals because they just absolutely don't have the space to take them in, and shelters that can stop and say, we're not taking anymore.
See, this is why I could not work for you, because I'd be saying, all right, just load them into the truck here and we're out of here, you know?
And then we'd be at your house next.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I got an acre and a half, but
yeah.
there's only so, you know, so
okay,
much.
Okay, well, don't tell me that, because we might be at your house next.
What are some of the needs that you have happening right now that the casual person who's out there listening right now, and even I for that matter, can become involved with and help you out with?
I think one of the biggest things we need is volunteers. We have volunteers that come daily because we're such a small staff right now. And we definitely need people to come in and walk the dogs, especially get them out of the kennels extra, because our staff is spending their whole entire day cleaning, caring, providing basic care, meeting the public when they bring animals in or are reclaiming their animals. And so the volunteers are who keep those animals sane, so to speak. Okay. They get them in and out of the kennel, socialize them. With a population coming in at this high of the rate, volunteers are making it or breaking it for us. If they can come in and get the animals out, that helps significantly. We recently started a program called Doggy Day Out. Okay. And with this program, a person can fill out a simple application. Our coordinator contacts, usually our operations manager, will reach out to you, our behavior coordinator, and they will talk to you about what kind of pet would be a good suit for you, and you take the animal out for the day. We suit it up with Adopt Me, little bandanas, little leash and everything, and you can take it to Riverwalk, you can take it on a hike anywhere, you can take it Tractor Supply, Lowe's, wherever, to try to get that pet out there. It's great for the pet, gives them a break from the kennel, and lets people know that shelter pets are pretty awesome. When you see them out in the community and see how great they are, it's impressive.
It's an interesting form of suggestive advertising, too, with the little bandanas and all that sort of thing, you know, because I can see a situation of someone, well, let's say we're in Lowe's, and I walk up and I see this, you know, is this your dog, or is this dog for adoption, or what the deal was? Your volunteers are equipped to give the information?
Yes, they have a little baggie with them, and it has business cards, it has an adoption flyer, it has everything you need.
What kind of rate of success are you having with that?
So we just started it.
Okay, so.
Yeah, we literally just started it. So for us, we have somebody scheduled every single day of the week take a dog out.
Okay.
So that part of it is successful. We're hoping that now it'll transfer to adoptions for us. The dogs, it's an amazing effect on, because instead of being cooped up in the kennel and kind of spinning or crying or barking all day, they come back and they're nice and exhausted and they just go to sleep. So we know it's affecting them, which is ultimately the main thing we want.
Yeah, because I just imagine, you know, I mean, it's like a prison, so to speak, you know, being in the cage there. And again, just personal basis with our guy, Jasper, you know, you could tell he was not happy in this cage, okay? And it was a good-sized cage and all that. He could move around. He wasn't cramped or anything. But he wasn't digging it. You know?
Yeah.
And then when they had that little moment where you could go outside and kind of get to know each other, whole different guy.
Absolutely. And we do have programs in place at the shelter to help with that. We have a behavior coordinator. She runs a daily play group. So dogs that are dog social, or, you know, they get to get out and they get to go in a little play group. We have our staff in the afternoon after cleaning. They put some sort of enrichment in the kennel. That might be Kongs. It might be some popsicles. It might be some toys they tear apart and play with, just to kind of keep their mind busy. So, and then we have our volunteers that walk. So between that, we try to really take care of those pets while they're there.
That is extraordinary what you're doing. What else have you got cooking other than the doggy day out? I mean, you're kind of hamstrung, it seems to me, in a way, because of the small staff and the overwhelming need. And, you know, you just said that everything's full, but you still have to take in more animals. And I'm just, to my mind, you know, where do you put them?
So you see the conundrum, which is why that terminology, no-kill, lends it to believe that there's good shelters and there are bad shelters. And it's really not that case. It's shelters that have very limited resources that really have to take in to meet the needs of the community. And then there's shelters that usually those other shelters will try to help us out and pull when they have space, but they get to work within their space and resource confines and say, this is what we can do, this is our resources, and then we stop outside of that. So it's two different, you know, dynamics.
Is this an epidemic, would you say,
absolutely. You know? Absolutely. I think we are in a time where, and you have probably heard it everywhere, spay and neuter really is essential. There is a lot of accidental breedings that go on in our community. There's a lot of intentional breeding that is overflowing that we, you know, continually get animals in. And so we're hitting the point where, in order to make a dent in this population, we're going to need some sort of spay and neuter progress, whether it's right now we offer it to the community. We actually have a free spay and neuter van that comes once a month from a clinic, picks up and takes them. So we have these resources. We have groups in the community that work with the local spay and neuter clinics and offer free spay and neuter. It's not really a cost prohibitive issue in our community. We have access. It's that we need more people to make the choice to do the right thing.
So it's a matter of people getting their heads around it and realize that this is for the betterment of the animal.
Yes, yes.
Seems simple enough.
Yeah. Of course, right now there's no such thing as a cute little litter we want to see, because that all is eventually overflowing and already densely populated community.
Yes, the days of the cute little litter are gone, I'm afraid.
Yes.
You're right,
yes.
Because the population is such. Bobby Comer is with us today. She is the Director of Animal Services at the York County Animal Shelter. We're going to take our mid-program break and remind you that Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. By Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. We broadcast live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop University. The best subs and salads made right before your very eyes. 6 days a week they do it. And the magical way, of course, is in the letters here. And see, everybody left us, and it's you and me again, just like the last time, in spite of Ruffalo's assurances. But the magical way, at the count of three, one, two, three, is... slice, slice, slice.
Garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board. It's on your phone.
This is Charlie Ruffalo.
Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Now open, the new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com/Fort Mill.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is more about property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Investing can be like a puzzle. There are so many pieces to consider, and it can be hard to know where to start. But with the right guidance, you can put the pieces together to create a winning strategy. That's where Founders Investment Services comes in. Our team of financial advisors can help you navigate the complexities of investing and create a personalized plan that fits your goals and risk tolerance. We'll work with you to identify the pieces of your puzzle and how they fit into your financial future. Call 866-739-7064 or visit foundersfcuinvestments.com to learn more about how we can help you take the first step towards reaching your financial goals. Securities offered through LPL Financial.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board. It's on your phone. Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And welcome back into our Straight Talk program for this Wednesday. Bobby Comer is with us, Director of Animal Services at the York County Animal Shelter. And we've been talking about the many obstacles and challenges and the rewarding experiences that,
absolutely,
you know, in your line of work and what you're doing. But you obviously you have a great deal of challenges in finding homes for the dogs and cats there at the animal shelter. But just to step aside from that before I come back to it, you get anything other than dogs and cats?
So we don't normally, we only have housing for dogs and cats.
Okay.
So if we take other things, it's usually because of associated with some sort of cruelty case or neglect case or abandonment, and in which case those animals transfer out to a rescue after
okay.
they serve their time.
So you're just kind of like a Holiday Inn just for the moment. They're there yes. for the night and on their way
yes.
to where yeah. they can really get the help. All right, let's talk about the challenges of finding homes for dogs and cats. You mentioned earlier, of course, the economy as such and housing in general and people in apartments and folks that have downsized or trying to upsize or just basically trying to stay alive. Has it got to a point where it's catastrophe is not the word I'm looking for, but where it's become, I guess, a dire straits sort of situation?
I think in the United States as a whole, but especially the South, yes. I think we're there. For years, the shelter system in the South has relied on northern entities that have a much lower population because they have stronger animal welfare laws and different items to support it. We relied on them to kind of send our animals, too. Well, now they're full, too. And so they can't take them. So it's continually just inundating us one right after the other of the animals coming in.
Okay. Where do you go from here in what you're trying to do? You know, I mean, the work you're doing is just extraordinary, and it's for all the right reasons and overwhelming odds and all the rest of it that are kind of mounting against you. How do you combat that?
Well, I have developed what I call, and a lot of people have heard me say this, so it's called a three-prong approach. So our first approach, the first prong, is to prioritize our services. We have identified what are our essential services, such as responding to aggressive animals, bite animals, things like that, cruelty cases where animals are truly living in neglect, obviously high priority versus non-priority services, which are things that aren't necessarily required, but we offer as we're able. So identifying that, so knowing what we offer as we can and what we offer daily.
Okay.
And then our second prong is to increase our infrastructure to match. We talked about the population boom in York County and stepping up our resources, whether it's space, whether it's staffing, whether it's what we offer the community and programs to match the population boom of people in our county. We're infrastructure, so we have to increase our infrastructure to match the needs of what our community is growing. And then our third prong of that is the future. So we're looking at what's actually causing all these problems. Is it that people aren't spaying and neutering? Is it because there's a lack of cruelty and care laws in our community? What is that? Getting to the bottom of that and then presenting focused ordinances and resolutions to our county council to ask for support so that we can begin to address those issues for the long term.
All right, let's address those three right there in the time we have remaining. Number one, obviously, you need more space, I would think, with the overcrowding that there is. What kind of, obviously, you guys are smarter than me. You've gone to the powers to be and say, listen, you know, we're packed and we need more space.
Well, that's up for discussion with council right now. So they are aware of our needs. We've presented that to management and to council. And right now we are working with an outside team who is identifying how large of a facility we need, what is actually would meet the needs of the growth in our community, what does this look like for the future, and as they're drawing that up, they're going to be presenting that to council, this outside source. I've given my input. I've said this is the rate they're coming in, this is where it's projected to go, this is what I don't have that I need right now, and then they're taking that and they're looking at similar facilities across the nation that have our size community. How big are their facilities? What are they, you know, how is it set up to meet the needs of that community? And that will be, once that project is complete, that will be presented to council. And then council will decide from there where will they allow us to go.
All right. Item two of the three that you mentioned, this cruelty situation, which is just, you know, you know, I mean,
yeah, well, yes,
how someone
yes.
this could be cruel to an animal or a child is just
right.
beyond me. But, yes, they're out
yes.
there.
So part of that is state law needs to improve, which is outside of us. And so I believe right now at the state level, they're looking at some things that would impact us. One of them being in South Carolina that differs from a lot of states around us is that when we take in a cruelty case, we hold those animals until they go to court, which could be months, could be years, which shuts down your facility to an extent. In other states, they have what's called bond and forfeiture, where the person is required to put up money for care like they would be caring for them at home. Mm-hmm. For them to be cared for, and if they cannot do that and provide appropriate care, then they're released to the state or county, whoever's charging. So at the state level right now, that's being discussed and looking at and being proposed. So we're hoping that will help us. Obviously, there needs to be some strengthening and other things. And so we're going to be looking at in the near future cleaning up our ordinances and things that will address housing, different things like that, and putting those to our council to approve those changes.
And your third item was that you just mentioned?
So the third one is prioritization of services.
Okay.
So looking at it, and right now we have our must-dos and our do when we can.
Okay.
So must-dos are things like responding to emergency urgent injured animals, hit by cars, outside aggressively attacking that isn't a person that they can put in their house, things like that. Cruelty cases where animals have no access to food, water, shelter, serious issues, responding to those immediately. Then we have our mid-levels that we respond to as soon as we get done with those, such as strays. There's been statistics that show 85% of animals that are reported stray are actually within a block of their house and will go immediately home if animal control doesn't pick them up. If animal control picks them up, statistics show only 17% will get to return back to their home. So as long as it's not a danger to the community, the most important thing is to get to those dangers, leave those other ones until for secondary. And then the third part is those extra services that we offer, such as our TNR program, which is super important because it keeps our cat population down. But it's not required by law and not a danger to the community. So things like that we offer as we're able.
How often in the strays that you pick up are they chipped?
I don't have any numbers on that, but if I was to guess, I would probably say 15% of the time, which is more than they used to be.
Wow. See, yeah. I was hoping for a higher number there. I really was. My guy's chipped and he doesn't get out of that backyard, but, I mean, he can jump the fence, whether he knows it or not. And I know that he can do it. And fortunately, he never has. But my greatest fear is that he does.
And a couple times a year, we're trying to offer, at least twice a year, to our community a free rabies and a free microchip clinic at the shelter. So all you have to do is show up.
Yeah, and it works, right? I mean, the microchip, there's even another, it's called Safe Home or Safe at Home or something like that. I think it's $25 a year, and he's registered, and this came through, the animal, Mary Beth Knapp and the mm-hmm. good folks out there at the other end of the county, at the animals, your county humane society. I just can't imagine, and there's always a point where they're, adopting and, they're telling you, they've been spayed and neutered or whatever it is, and they have a chip.
Yep. We do the same exact thing at the shelter. Yes, we make sure everything that leaves is chipped, and our system automatically registers it for the new owner.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, in our final couple, 3 minutes that we have, what have I missed here today? We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, one thing I want to mention is that we do have some positions open right now. We have a kennel tech position, which is a part-time position.
You're hiring.
We're hiring.
Get to it, sister.
Love that. We have a shelter keeper position. That is a full-time care position. It does require some previous experience, either in a shelter, clinic, boarding facility, because you are coming in full-time and handling those animals. The kennel tech could be either someone with experience or someone that's fresh that wants to learn the shelter.
So you can train them.
Yeah, part-time. And eventually, if a full-time position opens up, they're welcome to apply for that. And they'll have the experience at that point. And we also have a couple officer positions open right now. So if someone has experience and wants to get back out into the community and use their enforcement skills to help us make a difference for animals, that's the way to go.
All right. How do they get a hold of you? How do we reach Bobby Comer or whoever we need to talk. Who do we got? Who do
for
I talk
jobs,
to?
The best place to go to is yorkcountygov.com. On the front page, we have employment. You click on employment, and it has all the jobs listed in the county. And, of course, look for those animal ones.
Yes, above all, look for the animal ones, yes. And the website would be?
www.yorkcountygov.com.
Perfect. Perfect timing. Bobby, it's been great. It's great to see you again. You're doing excellent work, you and your staff. God bless you. Keep it up.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for our Straight Talk program today, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And as always, Straight Talk, we broadcast from Substation 2 on Cherry Road across from Winthrop University, home of fresh subs and salads made right before your eyes, nothing up their sleeves. And the magical way that it's done is, of course, slice, 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 slice.
Garden.
We'll see you tomorrow, where our guests will be Rock Hill Police Officer Chris Nelson and Lieutenant Tim Ayers. Have a great day.